Praised be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel, we have the episode of the curing of a blind man by our Lord on his way to Jericho. Our Lord was very merciful towards this man. Seeing that the blind man believed that our Lord was capable of healing him, Jesus rewarded him with the gift of sight. At times, even in our days, our Lord does miraculously cure persons of their physical ailments. Those who invoke the help of certain saints or visit Marian shrines at times do have their prayers answered according to what they ask for, and they receive cures. But is blindness or any other physical handicap or deformity, is it really to be considered a disgrace or a curse? Well, the answer, of course, is no. The Church teaches that the only true evil is moral evil, is sin. Physical handicaps, illnesses, poverty, these conditions, though they aren't sought after, are often in no way harmful to our relationship to the Lord, with the Lord and with Our Lady. And actually, in most cases, the opposite is true. Give an example. With a cure of ours, St. John Vianney, before praying for someone who is sick, he would usually ask them this question: why do you want to be healed? To a blind woman who wanted to have her sight restored, the cure of ours said this: my child, you can be cured, but if the good God restores your sight, your salvation will be less assured. If, on the contrary, you consent to keep your infirmity, you will go to heaven, and I guarantee you that you will have a high place there. Then the great nephew of this woman testified many years later that after she had heard this from the cure of ours, she had asked him who would take care of her. And he assured her that her 8 brothers and sisters would take care of that. And then afterward, he actually predicted the dates of each one of their deaths, one by one. Or we could look at the question in another form. So those who have no physical deformities or who are well off in life, if they want to go to heaven, they have a long and a high stairway to climb. Whereas those who are deprived of certain faculties like sight or hearing, or they may have lost their limbs, or they have chronic illnesses, or they aren't as attractive or as gifted as others, or they're truly poor, well, for those souls, if they accept the cross that our Lord has put on their shoulders and they carry it with faith, let's just say this, then Our Lady would come and she offers to take them to heaven. Instead of going by the stairs, they can go by the elevator with her. She'll do the rest for us. For St. Therese of the Child Jesus, that would actually be the only true way to get to heaven, to take the elevator, which for her meant to entrust ourselves completely into the hands of our loving Father, embracing and even smiling at the crosses that we receive each day, being completely dependent on Him to meet our needs and confident in God's providence. So our Lord will never give us a cross which we cannot carry. He'll never give us a burden which we cannot bear. What He wants us to do is bear life's difficulties with Him and with Our Lady. He doesn't want us to go it alone. We carry the crosses, again, with Him and with Our Lady. Now, I'd just like to close the second part of the homily, by speaking of one cross that our Lord does not want us to bear, and that many of us still do carry around. This cross is called the cross of unforgiveness. Our Lord miraculously heals only a relatively small number of people, but He wants to heal all of us from the infirmity of unforgiveness. And I think this is particularly important to speak about now that we're going into the Thanksgiving and the Christmas seasons. And I'll borrow most of this reflection from a Christian counselor named June Hunt, who gave a very good conference on forgiveness. So every person, of course, has the need to be forgiven, but we ask, well, what is really forgiveness? What is it? Well, it's dismissing a debt which someone owes to you. It's setting someone free from the consequences of falling short of God's standards. And here are the 10 things which forgiveness is not. Goodbye. First thing, forgiveness is not excusing unjust behavior. We don't excuse what that man just did when he came into the chapel. We don't excuse it, but we forgive. Forgiveness, secondly, is not sidestepping God's justice. It's trusting God to execute justice in his time and in his way. What it does is it's moving the offender, the one who's hurt you, off of your emotional hook and putting them onto God's hook. That's the image that the counselor gives. Forgiveness, thirdly, is not conditional. It's unconditional, and it's a command from God. As we remember what our Lord said in Matthew 6:15, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Fourthly, forgiveness is not based on what is fair. Our Lord, who was unjustly crucified, prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Fifthly, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. It's a choice. So I choose to forgive the offender no matter what my feelings tell me. Sixthly, forgiveness is not forgetting. In order to forgive, you actually have to remember the offense in order to forgive it. But what you do is every time it comes up into your mind, you release it to the Lord. You say, Lord, I forgive them. Forgiveness, seventhly, is not being a doormat. Some people think that forgiveness means letting everyone walk all over you. And if you actually think that way, if that's your premise, then that would make, of course, God the biggest doormat that ever existed. Because God forgave us from the cross, but he's not a doormat. Eighthly, forgiveness is not being a weak martyr. A lot of people think forgiveness means being weak, being letting the other person win. But that's not true. Forgiveness is being strong enough to be like Christ. Ninthly, forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. In order to reconcile, the offender has to change their behavior. But in order to forgive, all you have to do is change your way of thinking about the offender. And tenthly and lastly, forgiveness is not natural. And the example that this counselor gives is if you put two boys in a room, two little boys, and one boy punches the other boy, what's natural is that the other boy is going to punch back. That's natural. So forgiveness is not a natural act. It's supernatural, and it's actually empowered by God. So forgiveness not only reflects the character of God, but it also frees us from carrying around the burden of unforgiveness in our lives. Forgiveness becomes not only a free gift which we give to others, an unmerited gift, of course, because we ourselves don't deserve forgiveness for our sins, but it's also a great gift that we give to ourselves because it frees us from carrying an emotional and spiritual baggage which impedes our progress in life. So every time the offense comes to our mind, we offer it to the Lord and we offer the offenders to our Lord, saying, Jesus, because you forgave, I forgive. Because you have forgiven me, I can forgive this person. So every time it comes to our mind, we release them to the Lord. So I'll close by saying, may our Lord, who gives sight to the blind, as we heard in the gospel, but more importantly, who gives healing to the brokenhearted when they choose to forgive their offenders, may he be with us as we enter into the second half of the Mass, which is the liturgy of the Eucharist. On the altars, we sinners are not only forgiven by the body and blood of Christ sacrificed for us, but those of us who are repentant of our sins and who have forgiven our offenders are also reconciled with the Father. And may the Spirit of Christ's forgiveness be the greatest gift which we give to others and to ourselves in this upcoming holiday season. Praised be Jesus and Mary.